AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture, and is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us today. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, Davis.
That's a Big Ten 5, good buddy.
Okay,
works just as good.
I'll get used to it. I'll get used to it.
Works just as good.
All right. Let's bring in Alan Hoskins. He is the president of American Farm Mortgage and Financial Services down in Louisville. And he joins us right now. Alan, how are you? Welcome back to AgriTalk.
Chip, thanks for being here. Davis's comment about 10-5, that really takes me back in time. I'm from the CB era. I remember those days.
Well, yeah, I'm sure 10-5 already means something, right?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yep. I mean, I think it means something about relaying a message, okay? So let's go ahead and relay a message.
Hey, that's
from
not bad. That
Alan
works.
Out from Alan out to the listeners. Let's 10-5 this. All right. Oh man, how you doing, Alan? Everything good?
Everything's good, Chip. Everything's good. We're moving forward with harvest down here in this area, and fortunately, we've seen some really good yields coming in. Prices have certainly been kind to us, particularly in relation to where they were this time last year. So I would say there's a lot of positives going on right now.
All right, good. So what do you make of the current conditions in agriculture, Alan? What's the financial health out there?
Sure. Well, first of all, obviously with the yields and the prices, and with fertilizer prices being where they were in 2021, I think we're going to see some working capital increases again this year. We saw that begin in 2020, and I believe that for a good portion of producers, we're going to see that, at least in our area, continuing here in 2021. Also, we're seeing equity increases. If you look at the financial statement, if you do market value adjustments for both land and equipment, which is something that, you know, historically, you know, when you're not trading equipment, there's not been a lot of market value increases. But if you look at the trend in equipment prices, yeah, I would argue that there's some increased equity there. You know, obviously the thing that with equity increases that I think is important, and everyone knows this, is you don't go to the grocery store and buy a gallon of milk with equity. You're buying it with cash. But certainly, if you're looking at financing opportunities or just the overall market value strength or health of the operation, there's some positives there, both with equipment and land as well.
Right, right. Yeah, it more than ever before, well, not more than ever before, but we are definitely back to a point in agriculture where the balance sheet looks really good. There may not be a huge amount of cash in the account, but the balance sheet looks pretty good, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I think, Chip, we will see that working capital increasing this year simply because of what's going on. So the balance sheets are definitely, as a whole, on an upward trend.
Okay. Okay, very good. So for farmers that are in a healthy financial position, what are their goals right now, Alan? What are they doing?
Well, and I'm glad you phrased that the way you did, Chip, because that's what I want to talk about is the folks that are the financially healthy. Okay. Some of the consistent things that I'm seeing, and also with other bankers that I talk to, those financially healthy farmers are in a strategic growth mode, not just a growth mode, but they're looking at what really makes sense in growing the operation on an ongoing basis. So that's something definitely that we're seeing. And as they make land acquisitions, I think they're looking at the long-term feasibility of what's this going to mean to the operation. One of the things that I think is interesting that I see and hear is you're seeing a lot of baby boomer farmers that are in that strategic acquisition. Yeah. So it's not just necessarily the 40 and under or 40 to 50 age range. You're seeing the baby boomers. They're looking at what opportunities are out there, and understanding how they're going to transition that land over to the next generation is something the financially healthy farmers are really looking at when they make these acquisitions.
Okay. That's interesting. You know, a million years ago, Alan, when I worked on a project called Making the Family Farm the Family Business, in the marketing chapter that I wrote in there, I talked about goal-driven marketing. And when when you are making a decision because you understand that it is going to move, that it's going to advance you toward reaching a goal, it makes it so much easier to make that decision. The same thing in investing in your business. If if everything is pointed at that final goal, it brings clarity to what you're doing. It makes it easier for people to understand why they're out in the cold and the snow and trying to save a newborn calf. You know.
Yes. Yes, that cold weather, Chip, is not nearly as cold when they understand how that fits into the goal of the operation.
Exactly.
And I would say that what we're seeing with the financially healthy farmers, they do have a good understanding of their goals. And some of the things, Chip, that I see, one of their goals is better understanding their numbers, and not just the surface understanding, but going into the deep dive. For example, field-by-field profitability, not overall farm profitability. And where are they perhaps not maximizing revenue opportunities, and what land makes sense if it's rented land? What land makes sense to be able to be more competitive if they need to be on the rents? Or having that data also, Chip, helps them in discussion with landlords many times. Because a landlord may go to the coffee shop and hear numbers, but when they can see numbers relating to their own farm, I'm not saying it's always going to make a difference, but many times it can make a difference.
That's right.
I would also say that one of the goals is making sure that they're managing for profit versus yield, because there is a diminishing point of return on trying to keep that yield up. Yep. And candidly, at the end of the day, it's the profit that generates that.
Yep. Yep.
One of the other things, Chip, that I'll also say is I think the really financially healthy farmers, when it's time to look at equipment trades, they're looking at not what's the cost of the equipment, but what's my return. Because depending upon what you're trading today, if you're looking at a combine or a planter, the value that you may earn in additional revenue because of the increased technology in that planter or combine is certainly a factor that goes into the cost of trading. And I really like producers that come in, and when it's time to trade, they're not just talking about the cost of iron. Because if you look at a combine today, the cost of the technology could very well exceed the cost of the iron.
Yep.
So that's something that I will tell you that I think healthy farmers, financially healthy farmers, they're making that transition.
Right.
And really looking at it as their business.
Okay. Let's take a look at it from a different perspective. We know that there's always risk from the markets, but outside of the markets, what are the financial risks that these guys are facing right now?
Well, obviously going into 2022, we've seen input costs vary dramatically over what we saw in 21. And that is, I think, leading into their trying to decide, do I make fertilizer purchases this fall? Yeah. Do I look long-term, maybe it's spring? I think there's a big financial risk there, because in addition to the financial risk associated with that, we don't know about the availability risk either. So there's a little bit of a challenge there. I would say, Chip, one of the more understated financial risks many times is the cost of lack of a succession plan. And none of us are promised this afternoon versus tomorrow. And that succession plan being in place helps make sure that that farm is able to make that transition in the event of a death or a disability. And when you look at the volume of money that farms are handling and the amount of risk, I would tell you that succession planning is very much a financial risk if it's not there.
Okay.
I would tell you that also looking at with some of the things that are going on in the news, you know, understanding and having discussions with your accountant regarding what future tax rates might look like.
Yep.
I think that's important.
They've got a big plan also, that they're going to have to pay for, Alan.
they do, Chip. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I think making sure that they understand that is extremely important.
Yep.
And looking also at making sure that they get their voices heard with their senators and representatives, because we want a place at the table. We don't want to be on the menu.
Good point. Good point, Alan. Great point, you know, and all are great points. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time. That's Alan Hoskins. He is the president of American Farm Mortgage. Thanks, Alan. Mm-hmm.